Hello, everyone. This is your host, Louis Vargas. Today's guest is another friend and former SFAI classmate, Nando Alvarez-Perez. Nando is an up-and-coming photographer here in the Bay Area and has been making some very interesting work. And if you were to see it in person as I have, you would all agree that it veers away from what has been considered traditional photographic art, which, to be honest, I find very refreshing. We'll talk more about Nando's work as well as what inspired him to pursue a career as an artist. All right, without further ado, here is my conversation with Nando. All right, so how are you doing, Nando?
I'm pretty well. It's Sunday morning. Things are calm. I'm good.
Right.
Yeah. Getting ready for a vacation that's coming up on Tuesday. So a bit hectic, but good.
Right. Yeah. You guys live out in the West Oakland, which, by the way, is my first time I've ever been out here. So, how do you like living out here? Because I know you lived in the city at one point.
Yes. And then, yeah. SF, I was in a neighborhood called Park Merced, which is not really much of a neighborhood, but moved out here like 2 or 3 years ago now, and the East Bay is glorious. I absolutely love it. It's always warmer, parking is good, rent is ever increasing, but right. Better than being in SF proper, and it's quiet and yeah. It's great.
Is it rent controlled out here too?
No,
but nobody really ever.
Our rent goes up slowly,
right?
I would imagine if we moved, it would be quite a scramble to find any place that has rent like we do now.
Yeah,
where my girlfriend has been for like 2 years.
So. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's nuts. Yeah. I can't believe it's affecting everywhere. So, what have you been up to? Because I know you've been busy. I know the last time we talked was in March, early March or something.
And yes, David Ireland thing.
Ireland show at the San Francisco Art Institute. Mm-hmm. And we talked about totems for Flatten Now.
Yes.
Right? And you had that over in Buffalo, right?
Yes, at the... SEPA Gallery.
Oh yeah.
Bear with me. That's just me stuttering. but put that up in early January, and it was up through March.
Yeah.
It was work I'm very proud of, and it kind of allowed me to lay the groundwork for some up. Coming shows and kind of like work out kinks for an installation that I just put in at John McNeil Studio in Berkeley, which is a brand and design agency that has a gallery in their lobby. I just installed one large piece there. There'll be a talk for that in June and... Yeah,
so interesting enough, because we both went to school together at San Francisco Art Institute. We both went to grad school. You were an MFA though, and photo, and that was an exhibition and museum studies program with your girlfriend,
indeed.
Emily. Yeah, but I had no idea that you were from Buffalo. I knew that you went to school in New York, like mm-hmm. in the city, but I didn't know exactly that you were actually from upstate New York. Or Western New York. Right?
Western New York. Yes, right. It's Western correct. New York to
my Southern
Western New Yorkers, but to most Americans, it's upstate.
Right.
And in political terms, it's always referred to as upstate because New York State is like Manhattan and then everything else.
So. How was it growing up in Buffalo?
It was nice. It was quiet. It was calm. I had a very, I had a fairly idyllic childhood, I'd say.
Yeah.
It was really quite nice. Until high school, my family was in, like the burbs there, in a place called, Orchard Park. And it was just like the kind of like, you know, post 50s, suburban neighborhood where moms were too precious about their kids and kids just kind of had like free reign of the place. And so, yes, it was quite nice then, when I was going to high school, we moved downtown to, Buffalo proper. And, went to a Jesuit all boys school there, which was interesting. I am Jewish and, suffice to say, somehow everyone knew, and it was like a thing.
Which is it? Because your last name is Alvarez Perez.
Yes.
So
yes.
Where does the Jewishness come in? So which side of the family?
My mom's side. Okay. Yeah. My mom is a Blumenthal.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we weren't ever even raised with any kind of like Jewish
like tradition, I guess, right?
Upbringing, yeah. My dad like desperately wanted us to like, I think, have some kind of Sunday thing to do, and so right. We were like briefly members of a Unitarian church and like all of the kinds of things that like are not
Hispanic,
religious heavy, and yeah, tend to focus more on like kind of like social conscience and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, it was not until I got to high school that me and my brothers became much more kind of acutely aware that we were Jewish and uneducated in our religious backgrounds.
Yeah.
Which is just fine.
Yeah.
For us, but was a thing in school. It was kind of like effort.
So what was your dad? Was he
cousin? My dad is Cuban American, and his mother raised him quite Catholic. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But he's not particularly
right. Which I feel like as a Catholic myself, that seems to be the case. We're raised very Catholic,
yeah.
And I guess the point we reach adulthood, I'm like, I'm not going to church anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But like, there's things that like I feel like the combination of high school and him and my grandma, like there's a whole stack of Catholic stuff that like you don't ever quite leave behind, like
right.
Just you know, yeah. Guilt and shame will just kind of
yes.
Will be defining features of one's life,
yeah.
if one has been like touched by that
yeah.
In their youth.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So then, when did you realize you wanted to like be an artist, or you wanted to be in art, you want to be involved with making art?
I came to art through wanting to work in movies. I don't know at what point I decided I wanted to try and be a director of photography on film. So it was like sometime kind of like maybe like late high school, early college, I had gotten really into movies. I think at the time thought that a crucial part of making them was watching them. That was before I ever made a thing.
Yeah.
So I just watched a lot of films, and my freshman year of college, I was at Fordham University in the Bronx, and I was partway through my like sophomore year. I was an English major and like really dying for something else, because like I had just kind of, I remember I just Signed up for my classes for like the second semester of that year, and it was becoming clear that this was where the major work would start, and they didn't have like any classes where you read anything that was written after like 1820. And I really wanted contemporary work. Decided one evening, I can tell you exactly what happened. It was like, it was Easter weekend of my sophomore year. So this would have been like 2008, I think. And, I had come back to school on Easter Sunday because I was convinced that school started on Monday. Got there. It was dead. And so I decided I would just watch movies in my dorm and go to the store and grab some beer, and I would smoke pot and drink by myself and watch movies.
Right. Live the Evan College lifestyle.
Exactly. Right. I was watching Orson Welles's Touch of Evil. And I can't remember exactly like what shot or what scene, but at one point in that film, I was just like, oh my God, this is what I need to do. I need to like make images. That was kind of all I had reached at that point. And then quickly started the process of transferring schools because Fordham had no really arts education there. And so I transferred to Hunter College in Manhattan. And it was a BFA that I got, but the program was way more focused on film studies with like a bit of production, which was fine because I quickly learned that once I got on set, it was like I really don't like set life. I don't like being told what to do by directors. I don't like the way that you're all supposed to be a big family, but on those sets where it's all like young people who all just kind of want to like get their start and like make their mark, the hierarchies are really aggressive and kind of nasty, and there's just a lot of kind of weird stuff that goes into those early steps for success in film, and I didn't want to be a PA parking cars on
because it's interesting that the movie industry, it seems to be like you have to pay these dues during, the bitch work for like 10 years 15 years before you're like actually doing something legit.
And what you know once I got into art and stuff, I also realized that like despite some current market trends that have changed how these dynamics work, you still largely kind of need to pay your dues. And but in paying your dues, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to go assist a painter that you hate.
Right.
You can make your work and work on your community and getting your you work out there, and it's all part of like paying your dues and being seen and being part of the scene. So I realized that fast. My dad has been into photography since he was really young. We were just kind of like talking one night about like what I was doing at school, and he let me borrow a 5D Mark I and from there, it was just kind of, it was to start to learn how to use a camera, but quickly I got much more into the history of photography and started to work in a very New York, distinctly like street photography mode. And then, yes, and then that's when it kind of became clear that photography would be the like path that I took.
And so it seems like, so your dad was a loved photography. Mm-hmm. So that seems like it was always constantly in your life then growing up then.
And in like a, when I was young, I didn't appreciate how much, because he's a doctor and he works way too much, doesn't have much time to shoot, but he does have this incredible library. And so like I grew up with Friedlander books and Winogrand books and the whole history of photography being very present without really knowing what it was. Right. And he had a pretty good collection and still does of black and white prints. And I remember there was this one picture. I can't remember. It might be like a Manuel Alvarez Bravo shot. I can't remember, but it's a great print. And it's, it looks like it's like maybe some nuns in front of a church in Mexico. And I just remember like being convinced that one of the people in this picture was my mom. Yeah. And that like when I was younger, my whole like relationship to pictures was this kind of like magical and sort of magically narcissistic thing that like somehow this picture must relate to like me or like my mom or dad or like, you know, someone I know. I did not understand them as a composed frame, as like a piece of art.
Right.
That
a snapshot. A family snapshot.
Yeah.
And are you the only one in your family that's like arts in some form, or like, because you mentioned, I also didn't know you had brothers, by the way.
Oh yeah.
How many brothers do you have?
I am a triplet. I've
definitely mentioned this. Wait, what? You're a triplet?
Yes.
This I had no idea at all, and I can't believe you never mentioned this.
I mentioned it.
So, but you guys are not obviously, you're not identical.
No. My brother Alex is a sommelier, and Chris worked in cooking, and now he's kind of gaining his feet in the.
That sounds like
service industry at large, kind of.
This sounds like a great triple threat for your parents right now. Wine, food, and art.
Yeah.
My God.
Yes.
I mean, has any of them ever said, we should just open a restaurant?
They have. I don't think they would. Different topic.
Right.
Different topic. Alex, actually, when we were in college, he wanted to be a screenwriter, and then he wanted to just write, and then it somehow turned into wine.
Right.
But,
Wow.
So,
all right. So you got your BFA, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter College. So then what made you decide, I'm going to just go onto the opposite side of the country. I'm going to go to San Francisco.
It's like a total whim. I graduated from Hunter in 2011, while I was wrapping up my last semester, a friend of mine who is a fashion blogger started working for a woman who ran a like fashion blogging kind of like tutorial and like resource site, and she was like expanding into kind of like blog kind of like network, I guess would be the word. And so my friend knew that they needed a great deal of picture shot. And so I started to work for them and spent a year doing shoots with my boss with various badges and outfits and things. Did a lot of street style and product work. And grad school was like something I was thinking about. I've had discussions with other friends about this too. I don't think I didn't know nearly enough about grad school to know like what I wanted out of it and like what the grad school community could like offer me and stuff, and what resources schools have to offer and stuff was all very unclear. But I was getting like really bored of my job. I knew that I wanted to teach. I didn't know if I wanted to teach film, photography, or what, but I knew that an MFA would help me teach at the level I wanted to, and also that, you know, in photography, it's really, really, really hard to find substantial criticism. It's like the blogs are exploding with people who want to write about photography books and photographers and pictures, and frankly, it is a mess, and they're not educated enough in art history at large to talk about this one specific medium in a way that is at all enlightening. And so, like, I knew that I wanted to go to school for critical theory. Right. I didn't know that that's what it was called at that time.
Right.
But I knew that I had to like learn more about what makes this stuff really matter and count.
It's interesting that as a recently graduated, like undergraduate, like 22-year-old, you came to that really, because it took me 2 years into grad, like my second year of grad school, to understand exactly what you just said about photography.
Yeah.
But you kind of had. See, you saw it go ahead in that direction. You saw it where you're like, is this too much? People still don't know enough about.
Yeah, I just knew I wanted to learn more about it. And it kind of like had come out of like, I graduated with honors from the film program. And as part of that, I had to write a thesis. And I wrote a thesis about David Lynch and his films, and trying to like couch them in this like sort of new American surrealist thing that I proposed, and kind of quickly found out that once I started to do some research that like there had been a great deal of ink spilled on Lynch. Most of it I was not equipped to understand well, because my undergraduate education had not prepared me to read Zizek or really do any kind of like theoretical reading of a piece. So I had encountered these things that I knew I wanted to like learn more about, but didn't really know how to start. I had applied to all of the strict photography programs that one does, Yale, RISD, CalArts, and SFAI was a complete whim, because I had no interest in San Francisco. Yeah. I didn't know anything about it, I don't have much of a right to say I didn't have any interest, but when I looked at who worked at the school, and Henry Wessel was there, who was like my dream guy, I applied, and SFAI was the one that came back with a scholarship, so that it kind of made the choice really not hard. Yeah. So yeah, that was how I got out here. Not entirely through foresight or planning, just kind of it was the graduate application that went the best. So yeah.
So you mentioned that so when you were an undergrad and high school undergrad, you were taking kind of like the traditional like New York street photography mm-hmm. type of work. Was that still the case by the end of undergraduate, kind of coming into SFAI, or you were already starting to think of what else you wanted to?
Going through my first real artistic crisis prior to applying, and like while I was at that blog, I had like, I didn't know how much I didn't know about what I wanted to do or not. And I had been doing the street photography thing for maybe like a year and a half. And I just remember I was down on like Wall Street, and I took this one picture that I just knew was like, it was kind of, I was done with whatever it was. And it took me like a year and a half again of, you know, going through applying to schools, and I went to Chile to go shoot stills on a movie. I had no idea what I wanted to make and what I wanted to photograph and how I wanted my pictures to like be in the world. So I remember I was kind of like scrambling and like really wanted to get into a school so that I could have an education in art and art process, because I just had no friends to talk to work about and talk about how we make work. And so I really wanted to get into a school, because I was worried that if I didn't, I would either just stop completely or I would like go off the rails into no man's land of bad photography, which there's plenty of out there. And so
what happened at SFAI that made you or influenced what you, because your work is so unique and different now than what is street photography. Like, what was that turning point?
Even was that street stuff in hindsight is pretty conservative and traditional, but definitely, it's if you're familiar with a Australian photographer, Trent Park, who does these kind of street scenes that are like, they're really, I'm about to say the word magical, and that's a really lame word, but they have this real like kind of like fantastic like otherworldliness, and my work had like a lot of blacks. It was and lots of shadows, and it was very like dark and moody and stuff. And part of what made my work change so much was just that it was my photography when I was working in New York was very subject oriented in terms of like it was about me and it was about my feelings about the world and about politics and about the way that, you know, the effects of like technology on our brains and stuff. And I was kind of, it was all very, it was a kind of almost sentimentally cliche. It approached ideas of like disconnection and, loneliness and stuff. And it being at school just kind of really helped me, realize that like, the more you do art and the more you like learn about it, the more you kind of want to be like, well, it really is just self-expression. And like when it's good and sincere, it really does come from like a deep place inside the artist. But school taught me that like the only way to really give that stuff context is through history and through learning about what's been made before, what different approaches to art have been. Like it's still crazy to me to think about kind of the postmodern and how people talk about the postmodern in books and in film, and it really kind of like lingered around like the late 80s, early 90s. But like Duchamp, yeah. I mean, way back in like 1920, just broke every rule about what people should expect to see when they expect to see a thing.
Yeah.
And I just, it was like learning things like that kind of, made me more aware of history and not just kind of like the in New York I was working with, it just felt like very much of the America at that moment. And it was learning about art that made me kind of realize that like it's just a phase and it will change, and you need to you can't just always kind of respond to external stimuli through producing art that like reflects it. And so
you come to learn to respect the history of photography that kind of,
well, photography I knew, and it was actually learning about the larger history of art thanks to Katie Anania's Minding the Canon, which I'm really glad I took first. Like, yeah. That is what I came to school for. I really needed to learn about what I was like working into and stuff. And it was learning about that made me really reflect back on the history of photography. excuse me. It made me realize that the history of photography had kind of been up its own ass for a long time.
That's the best things I've heard right now.
it thinks it's this beautiful, unique snowflake of an art form.
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. It only is because of kind of like very strict arguments about medium specificity and what the role of a medium is, that has really kind of like held it back from belonging in the like larger realm of representing things through art.
And it's interesting because that's always my mantra all the time. Is about I was a history major in undergrad. Mm-hmm. Everything about my life is about history. When I went to grad school, it was about learning about the history of photography. That's why I went there.
Yeah,
I wanted to learn as much as possible.
Good luck at that school.
Yeah. Sadly, yes. I figured that out. Which is sad because the school itself actually has a place in the history of photography.
Yeah, it's huge.
Right. But unfortunately, curriculum-wise, when it came to the history of photography, I really was left to kind of do my own research and figure it out on my own. But I feel like I met a lot of students that were, oh, why are we thinking about the past? I hate the past. It's all about the now. And I was like, I hated it with a passion. Because I was just like, because how are you supposed to do something different if you don't even know what was happening before?
Yeah.
You know, and respect what was happening before. Or you could even catch yourself not, if you want to do something so different, there's a possibility you could repeat history without even
you
knowing
often
it.
Do.
Right,
yeah,
and it's important.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
and it's important to know what was before so you don't ever think what you're doing is totally unique and innovative.
Exactly.
And then it's not. But yeah, that's a good point. You mentioned Duchamp too, because Duchamp was the same way. In the 1920s, he was referencing a lot of history, like whatever was happening in art 100 years before mm-hmm. him, and he was critiquing that understanding.
Yeah,
that.
But I mean, he's also, that urinal is something that came out of the future.
Right.
Like, it's amazing.
Right.
It is just, still hanging over us.
Right.
And the way that people think about art and it, like, just the whole concept of having a concept in art it's so this kind of goes back to that little sort of like thought game that he deployed, and it's still not at its end yet. It's still kind of like,
well, I mean, you still get people who say like, oh, a toilet is now a piece of art, and then it's like, no, but you don't get it.
Yeah,
like, he knows He's not saying that the toilet is a legitimate piece of, he's messing with you. He understands that. Like, and that's the same comment he's making.
That approach to audience too is like, I mean, you think of Godard's like Contempt and how that film kind of plays with all these different ideas of contempt, both in the plot, but also in like what it delivers to the audience or does not. And what the audience ultimately feels.
Yeah.
And Duchamp was just fucking willing to go there early.
Yeah.
And just like really push buttons in ways that if you like aren't informed enough about it, you don't understand like how big of a button he pushes. Like, that's what like blew my mind most in school, which it's not like I didn't know that piece or know what he did, but just thinking about it, like really reoriented how I thought about.
So thinking back, to you, my own work, do you are happy with the decision you went to SFU? Like, do you feel like, because I mean, you seem to, you're smart in that you knew what you wanted, you knew what environment you needed to be in to get what you wanted to grow in your art making.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, if you went to a different school, what the work you're making now, would that still be the end result?
I can say I'm really glad I didn't go to Yale. I was recently just asked a thing like this, like what would the Nando of 2012 think about Nando's work now? And probably that person at that time would roll his eyes and not understand it, not be willing to say it has nothing to do with photography, which is extremely strange. I'm having an argument with myself now, but like, I mean, I've been working largely in still life lately, and still life has come under a lot of fire because photographers have moved back into their studios and still life has like really exploded. And with it, this kind of very kitschy, ironic use of materials and textiles and things, which I engage in a bit too, but I try to not allow it to be snarky. I still want it to be sincere. But if you look at like Daguerre's first few shots, like there's the one of the shoe polisher on the street, and then like most of them are still lifes,
right?
In the same way that photographers are working now, is just kind of these agglomerations of objects and stuff. And so I try to stay aware that it's like it is playing into history. And I did not expect my work to change as much as it did. I think if I had gone to a school on the East Coast, I probably would still really be toiling away at like maybe like 4x5 cameras and like how to make a nice traditional portrait. Which definitely there are people who excel at that work, like Brian Skutmat, who's work I don't love, but it is incredibly beautiful, and he's very good at his thing. But I'm very glad that I had my eyes opened to a more multidisciplinary approach to art making, which I don't think I would have gotten as much on the East Coast, and especially not at any of the big photography programs, because they're very committed to photography as such.
It's so unfortunate, like most art students, when they graduate or get their master's, there's that lingering 6 to 8 months where, what do I do to make a living so I can at least continue to make my art?
Yeah.
So, you've mentioned to me before privately, but like you work for Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So explain, when you graduated, now you're like, I know what I like to make. I want to continue making that. I need studio space. I need, obviously, supplies and all these things. So, like, tell me that thought process, and then how, then ultimately you decided where you wanted to work, and and then how you're still making what you want to make while you're working.
I was extremely lucky. Not just lucky with work too, but one of the last classes that I took at school was being taught by a woman who was recently hired by Airbnb to kind of like turn the photography department there from something that just managed listing shoots into a kind of independent photo production team. The irony of this was that the class she taught was called Photography and the Real World. And I was still at a point in grad school where I was like, I can graduate and get done and I'll figure it out. Who needs the real world? There is, and it was all about like, you know, how can you like work on what you want to do while kind of like gearing your portfolio towards getting jobs, shooting product stuff or like editorials. I think when I went to grad school, I thought I wanted to do some commercial work and thought I wanted to sort of be like the industry photographer. I realized in school that workflow is pretty close to being on set on a film, and there's like a lack of control and autonomy and stuff. So I was so convinced I didn't want to do it, but she offered me not a job, but to apply for this job, and that she would get my resume to who had to see it. And I was like really unsure if I wanted to actually do it because I it's not like I had some other plan. I don't know what I would have done to anyone who hears this, if you're in grad school and you're offered a job that will extend from before the end of school to past its end, you should take that job no matter what. But yeah, so I took it in the last semester of school. I was working and completing school, and you know, even with the job, I still got done and still had like just the tailspin of terror and fear that most graduates are afflicted with. It's also, there's a, for me, I also had this thing where I had this stable, great job, but was being exposed to a side of the world that graduate school does a really good job of shielding you from, which is like kind of the taxes not that, but like the kind of capitalist production of art,
yeah,
and art making and advertising and stuff, and so I was thrown into this world where I had just like a really like deep dogmatic angry reaction to like the people I worked with and like what the aims of Airbnb are and all this. Over the last 2 years, things have like really like calmed down. I never thought I would be there for as long as I have. It's been like 2.5 years now. I consider myself extremely, extremely lucky to have a job that allows me to mount and show my work as I want to. Yeah. And I realized quickly that like, if you're gonna make art, one of the worst ways to do it or to support your art making is to teach. And I thought I'd get done and I would teach, but like that's at best, if you're right out of school and you only teach, you're gonna be making 12 to 20 grand a year, which in the Bay Area is obviously not tenable. And so I realized that like, if I'm going to be making art, I'm going to be working 40 hours a week, just about no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a day job And there were kind of like other just practical things that I had learned about displaying my work and about the kind of scales I wanted my work to reach, because I you know, it was not until my graduation show that I went through all the steps and got work framed and put it on a wall and saw like, oh my God, obviously this wall just eats up a 13 by 19 inch work. So I started to like think about photography as more a response to space and architecture. And so my work really like grew in scale, and I'm really, really glad that I've got a job that allows me to like take those steps. And so like I've got a pretty tiny studio and stuff, but like there's other ways that my resources can be put to use because of that job. And yeah. So, yeah.
Do you find that work influences sometimes your art making, or art making influences like your job?
Definitely something I thought would happen a lot more often when I started, or that there'd be like a greater kind of like exchange of ideas between my work self and my non-work self. A lot of friends have told me like, oh my God, you work there. Like what a great place to kind of like make right. art from, because it's so weird and it's right. so, you know, on the like bleeding edge of the new.
And controversial.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. And the fact is I'm very cynical about the tech industry and about all of its promises of innovation and change, and all of the this talk that, you know, the most creative stuff is going on in technology. And the way that it's kind of like co-opted a lot of the things that we admire in art for marketing and branding. And I realized I sort of dislike it so much. I don't want to take it home with me. I don't want to make work about it. I want to make work about, not about things, but I want to make objects that excite me and incite a desire to kind of engage with the visual and explore aesthetic properties of objects and things. And I just did not want to make work about where I worked.
Right.
Well,
you seem to be doing well for yourself, I think. I mean, so when you mentioned the Totem Show, I read all the reviews. Mm-hmm. I saw all the different things. And it seems to be like, for me at least, and excited for you, it's like kind of like your first kind of blockbuster show.
Definitely.
You know, and it's like, how does that feel? Like to be like, people love it. Like people, I was just doing what I like.
You yeah.
know?
And yeah. It's just like, and it's like, it feels awesome. My dad didn't like it very much, right. which was a bummer.
Right.
Yes. But I mean, it's weird. Like so you go through all of these steps, and then it so often feels like the best thing you get out of it are the pictures at the end.
Yeah.
And it was a great experience. I am so glad I got to mount my work like that. And the pictures have led to great things.
Yeah.
I've got like a nice year of things kind of lined up now because of,
right.
my documentation, which is always something that's kind of weird to me. But, I mean, it, like, nothing sold. It felt great. Like,
right.
it really did. I am so
right.
proud of that work. And I'm so, like, it just, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
It feels like it didn't come from me. I'm really excited about it. And, I am, yes, looking forward to more opportunities for spaces of
yeah.
that size. And
well, and I think the like you mentioned, like I don't even think it matters if you sell anything or not. I think it's what came after it. What led
yeah,
to
yeah, yeah.
those other opportunities,
yeah.
and that's all you can really hope for. And I think the someone buying your work, I think, comes later, or it will come.
Yes, yeah,
it,
yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
not something I'm
right.
stressed about, and it's one of those things I am allowed to not be too stressed about
yeah.
because, well, I mean, you're educated in school that's like not a thing you're supposed to
right
think about, which is right. dumb because
money making it's still who does that.
It's if you want to do what you want to do, you have to find a way to get paid for your labor because it takes time and space, and it's stupid to think that just because it sells or it's an object that is going to be sold that like that is its only identity.
Right.
It is a commodity. But I am lucky enough to have a job that allows me to kind of like ignore that stuff for the time being, and I can just kind of work on the work and not think about trying to sell for a lot of money.
Yeah. So what do you have coming up that you can tell me, that you could tell me about?
Coming up, I've got I will be in a 2-person show at a place called Egg and Spoon Gallery in Zurich. It's still work. I'm kind of like working with the curators to work out the details. Like I don't know exactly what the show will look like yet. That will probably open up in early June, and then I tentatively have a 1- or 2-person show in Santa Clara in the fall, and some other things. I'm slowly lining up for early next year. And I'm also, I said I wasn't going to say this, but I'm about to go install some work at a store in North Beach. They needed some work for their walls, and I have work framed. So it's one of those things where it's like, there's no point in not getting the work out there. So,
right. Exactly. Get your name out there. Like,
yeah. And then, yeah, I have something coming out with Copa Press, hopefully by the end of the year. Not sure exactly when. And, I think that's it for
now. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know. We see each other every 5 to 6 months or something. Yeah. But it's good to see that things are going well for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Indeed. Well, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure, man.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was Nando. He's very straightforward and honest about his work and his thought process. It's actually one of the many things I love about him. Hopefully, we can have him on again soon. Okay, that's it for today. For more about Nando and his work, go to his website at nandoalvarezprez.com and be sure to check out his latest series, Totems for a Flatten Now. And be sure to subscribe to the Art Scene podcast on either iTunes or SoundCloud or at artscenepc.com. Till next time.